Oh, I think so, mate. It's just looking. 26,500 people for Munster agreed with it. They were there. You know, capacity crowd. And, you know, obviously very emotional at the start and all. But, you know, unfortunately, that's the situation. And I'm sure, knowing Anthony Foley, what his love for the game, I mean, he would not have wanted this to be cancelled. And I think it was a fitting tribute to him, the way the team played. 38-17. Against, let's face it, no mean Glasgow side who the week before had destroyed Leicester. I suppose in a sense it would have been a difficult one for Gregor Townsend and his team, you know, because of what has happened. But, I mean, the first 25 minutes, I mean, the game was won by Munster. I mean, they absolutely got out of the blocks. 24-3 up at half-time. I suppose the only blemish was Keith Earls has been red-carded for. What you'd have to say was, you know, it was a tip tackle, and therefore I don't think he would have too many arguments about it. But 14 men didn't seem to matter. As I say, 24-3 at half-time, and at the final score, 38-17. So 14-0 in the second half. The damage had been done, five tries, and I absolutely destroyed them in the scrum. I saw snippets of it. I haven't had a chance to see the whole game, but the Munster pack really destroyed Glasgow, and they had a penalty try out of it as well. So very much a fitting tribute, and certainly it'll be quite emotional again, because next Friday night the Munster come up to Ravenhill, and both the provinces, you know, have a lot in common, in the sense that after the sad death of Nevin Spence in a farming accident, Munster 4 years ago put a plaque in the away change room in his memory, and I'm led to believe next Friday night there'll be something similar for Anthony Foley. So, you know, nice to see that. Obviously, there'll be a minute's silence, or there'll be something before the game, but once the whistle goes, that'll be it, you know, and I think that's the great thing about sport and about rugby in general, you know, that we all grieve, but at the same time we realise that life has to go on, and sadly that's the case.
That's certainly the case, that's right. Yeah, you mentioned there about the Munster scrum, very, very, very strong, and very impressed with John Ryan in the front row.
Yeah, this is another young prop that has come out of nowhere, ginger-haired guy, if the boy. I watched him, what game was it? I think it was the Leinster match, the one that they played in the Aviva. This guy has certainly come out really of nowhere, and I mean, it would be an absolute godsend for Joe Smith, because, I mean, Irish tight head props in the last two or three years, there's been a real dearth. But all of a sudden, when Mike Ross has carried the can for so long, but I mean, Ross is nearly 35, he can't go on forever. You know, there's a couple of good young boys coming through as well, but this boy John Ryan has put his foot down, and it'll be interesting to see just will Joe Smith gamble maybe and take him to New Zealand for that game. I would hope not, because I think, you know, a young player like that there, maybe okay if he gets a half against, I would like to see him maybe start against Canada if he feels he's got that potential in the first of those Autumn Internationals, because it's one thing playing against Glasgow and playing on emotion miles, it's another thing playing against the All Blacks.
Yeah, that's probably true, I don't have to say that. Keith Earle, just looking at the tackle, okay, but it's often the case you would get away with that if there were other players behind the guy that's been tackled. You know, it's not normally in isolation that you tackle somebody like that in a kind of a standing position. So they're normally a ruck forming real fast afterwards, and that protects you from the tip tackle, as it were.
Yeah,
do you understand where I'm coming from?
I do indeed, because there was a tackle the week before in Glasgow. It was Finn Muscle, who was literally emptied by the Leicester centre. Now, the TMO and the referee came to the decision because that Russell had put his elbow down, he saved himself. I mean, I found that, and as did the commentators, I felt that's a bit of a joke, Miles. I mean, it doesn't really matter if he put his elbow down or not. From Ayres' point of view, unfortunately, the player went down virtually on his neck and his head. And, you know, in slow motion, it never looks as bad when you see it full on. But I think Mr. Garcia, we remember him well, because Jared Payne, remember, was sent off against Saracens for something that was not as bad probably as the tackle yesterday. But I think, to be honest with you, there was nobody that I saw yesterday, even the Munster people were saying, unfortunately, you know, it was one of those things. It wasn't meant. I mean, we all, at the spur of the moment, you had a guy and all of a sudden he's up in the air and there's very little you can do. But I suppose the letter of the law, that's what it is. And, you know, he will be now suspended for a number of weeks.
And I suppose his behaviour afterwards, while I suppose understandable, it wasn't the correct way to deal with it.
No, it's unfortunate. Maybe some Glasgow players said something to him, who knows, but you know, normally, when a player's sent off, I mean, my recollection over the years, I can't remember anybody. I can understand the verbals a bit. I mean, that's something. But his attitude of going kicking the tackle bags and stuff, you know, because of the day it was and everything as well, Miles, it didn't look good. But as I say, I'm sure that Keith Ayres today is a sorry guy for what he done. We all make mistakes, you know, but unfortunately, yesterday was not the day to make that particular mistake.
No. Okay, let's turn our attention to the action at Kingspan Park last night. Ravenhill, Ulster 18, Exeter 16. A dramatic finish with two drop goals. Ulster, through Paddy Jackson, getting the one that mattered to win by 2 points.
Yeah, well this was it, Miles. It was actually 19-18 to Ulster. That final drop goal. It was 18-16 when Steenson.
Right. That's correct.
Steenson, a County Armagh man, of course, and somebody who a lot of us believe should have been back in Ulster 5 years ago. But I hope if Joe Smith was watching, I mean, you've heard me sing the praises of Steenson for quite a long time. I never could understand why he wasn't considered, you know, for to be an Ireland squad at times, possibly because he's playing in England. But, I mean, his kicking last night was 100% perfect, and he dropped that goal, and I can assure you, whenever he hit that second one, I think 90% of the people thought it was over, because when you saw it from behind, Miles, it just about drifted away, and that really could have been the nail in the coffin as far as Ulster were concerned. They got out of it, but again, a pretty lackluster performance by Ulster. I mean, Charles Peto got that man of the match. Yes, he made that great run, but I mean, there was a lot of basic mistakes. Paddy Jackson did not have a good game last night. He knocked on a couple of times. Some of his kicking, his place kicking was good, and to be fair to him, whenever it was put up to him to drop the goal, over it went. But that's one of those things you expect. But you know, overall, even up front, I thought the pack were a bit sluggish, and you know, they got away at 7-0. But a losing bonus, or to get the one, is exactly what they wanted. And I still think they're suffering from that hangover of the week before, because you know, that particular time last week, whenever Paul Marshall, instead of setting the ball down, letting Jackson kick a penalty to get a losing bonus point, because that losing bonus point could come back to haunt Ulster, as it has done in the last two seasons, you know. But they'll have a break now, and on the 10th of December, they're going to find out what they're worth against Kermit Auvergne, who, again, yesterday beat Bordeaux Begla. You know, Begla got a losing try bonus point, but nevertheless, it was, I think, 46-35 or something. Kermit Auvergne, of course, have been beaten twice at Ravenhill and all the rest, but you have to think that that's going to be a massive game, and the fact that they've back-to-back games against them is going to put the pressure on even more, because they got to get something out of the Kingspan, because it's going to be very hard to go to France and get something the following week. But, you know, who knows? Les Kiss has got a few weeks to work on it, but you know, I could see the big South African wing forward who he's back in training. He was there last night at Ravenhill, and I tell you, mate, it would scare you looking at him. This is with a suit on. He is a massive, massive man, and I think, you know, if they can get him fit, even for the last two games in the Champions Cup, it could be a big bonus for them. But they certainly lack some of that. It's, you know, the back row are playing well. Ian Henderson last night went off at half time with a shoulder injury, but he was a bit disappointing. And to be honest with you, Miles, you know, I know you talk about players of the past, but Ulster have never replaced Stephen Ferris. It's just as simple as that.
That's true. Yeah, he's hard to replace, one would have to say.
To lose a guy at 27 or 28 years of age made it even worse, you know. But certainly it's one of those situations. Henderson's a lot of years left, and maybe his expectancy levels are a wee bit too high at the moment. But, you know, I have to say, Leicester, of course, we have to also realise that Exeter were beaten for the Premiership title last year by Saracens. So they're no mean side. And also in the centre playing for Exeter last night was Ian Whitten, who left Ulster about 4 years ago and who's having a tremendous time with Exeter. So, you know, that's it. But, you know, Steenson is the one guy. I've said this all along. Whenever Ulster went and brought Ian Humphreys back, who for me was past it at that stage, you know, Steenson's kicking record in the Premiership, if you look at his stats, are probably as good as anybody going.
I suppose it's a bit late now to be bringing him into the Irish scene.
Oh, no, certainly. I mean, he's signed another two or three years, and certainly that's it. I mean, maybe in a sense of from the Ireland setup as well, I think unfortunately his time has passed, because you know they got to get young boys. And worryingly, Miles, I should add here that Johnny Sexton went off at half time. He didn't take the first penalty. Now Siwa took it, because he's a good kicker, as you know. Mm-hmm. But Sexton went off. Now they said with a sort of a leg strain, but he seemed to be holding a hamstring. And that's not good, because if he's not complete, even anywhere near fit, I mean, Joe Smith can't risk him against the All Blacks. And again, you can't go to Soldier Field, Chicago, 2 weeks' time with, you know, young guys. They need some experience.
That's a worry. And Sexton being injured so early in the season, he hasn't really recovered to the way he used to be.
No, well, this is it. And, you know, the time has taken its toll. And I'm still of the opinion that particular 2 years that he had with Racing Metro, Miles, you know, watching French rugby and the physicality, they do target number 10s. And while Johnny Sexton is a durable guy, I mean, he's not the biggest physical specimen. And when you get a guy of 16 or 17 stone hitting Johnny Sexton, you know, it's going to take its toll on him. And hopefully that's not the case. But, I mean, as I say, if he's not fit, there is absolutely no point playing him against the All Blacks. But I suppose it's a good PR for the Irish Rugby Football Union. But it's not great for the players having three more games, especially one against New Zealand coming up, you know. And if you were to go there to Soldier Field and get beaten quite well by New Zealand, and I say that quite well, because I watched them against Australia yesterday. Australia had a very good try, disallowed at 15-10. But the final score, I think, was 37-10. I mean, the All Blacks are unbelievable, Miles. If you drop a ball anywhere in the pitch, you're in big, big trouble. And that's a big game for a lot of those Irish players, you know, who after two games in the Champions League and possibly a Pro 12 game next Friday or Saturday, it's putting a lot of pressure on them. And then, of course, you play Canada, who are always out to get a scalp. Then you play New Zealand, and then you play Australia. And then you're back into Champions Cup rugby again. So the body's going to take a bit of a hammering over the next 6 weeks.
Certainly is. And New Zealand on such a great run. They've broken their own record, 18 consecutive victories. And, you know, they're playing together for a good period of time. So they'll be really, really trying to extend that record and the fact that they're on top of their game.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about it is, we joke now, who's Richie McCaw? Who's Man Honor? Who's Conrad Smith? You know, who's Dan Carter?
Yes.
It's like a production line, Miles.
It is.
You know, I mean, there's young guys coming on, and it doesn't matter. They just perform the same. The level of the ability of the forwards to pass a ball from number one to number eight. And, you know, the players in the back line, Bowen Barrett has come on, and give him another year or two, and he could well be even better than Dan Carter. So, it's the thing about it is, I reckon the New Zealanders could put out a second 15, which probably would still go unbeaten, because, you know, they're so clinical. I've never seen a team in rugby who actually can a drop ball, and all of a sudden they just create space, the support play right and left. So often we see in rugby here and the home nations, when a player makes a break, he has to look around to see where he is. You watch a New Zealander make a break, he's the option both sides, and it seems to be just an inbred thing with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's turn our attention to action near home. The Championship Conference 1, Ballymena 20, Omagh 22. In the good old days, if you had heard that score, you'd be wondering what's going on.
Well, this is it. I mean, that's that conference, Ballymena seconds, but Ballymena first having no game yesterday because no AIL games, you can be sure that they had a very, very useful team on. But Omagh's continuing on. As I say, I saw them the week before. I was up at Omagh when they beat Portadown in the league. And they're certainly developing very well. This last, since they got back up into what the old qualifying one of the Rugby Championship one, you know, they've done really well and went up and beaten Stonians. But that's a great result there to go to Eden Park and win there by 22 points to 20. And certainly, you know, they're very much on a high. They're still in the Junior Cup. They're in the quarterfinals to play soon against CIYMS, and that'll be a very interesting game to see how that goes. But, you know, Bellin Park at the moment's thriving. Miles, just last week when it was up, I mean, the crowds, I mean, the car park was absolutely full. They're putting out four teams every Saturday, and the youth system's going well. So it's great to see Omagh, who had a wee bit of a blip there for 5 or 6 years, but it's back to what I remember way back in the 70s and 80s, Miles.
Mm-hmm. OK, good victory for Limavady as well in Championship 2. Much too strong for Lisburn.
Yes, see, Lisburn haven't been having the greatest results this year, but I mean they were absolutely blown away by Limavady in the first 15 minutes. Limavady were 19 points up, and it's, I mean, that 66, the referee actually blew up a few minutes early because there was no real point in going on. But they looked, Mark Nicol, the former City of Derry coach, he's down there now at the helm, and an ex-City of Derry player as well, David Houston's back to his home club after many years, and he was playing second row, and looks as if he still could turn out an AIL, but I know, 66 still. They scored 10 tries, 4 from winger Mark Woods, and then the other 2 from their captain, the other winger, Bob Lamberton. But this young boy, Mark Woods, has just left Limavady Grammar School, I think. And somebody was telling me before the match to watch him. And I tell you, mate, we always talk about pace to burn. But at that level, this guy, I think he could go into fourth gear and still be good enough to get around anybody. He was absolutely superb. And, you know, from Limavady's point of view, having got promotion last year, that's now, they've now won 3 of the 5 games, and they're only about 7 or 8 points off the top. They'll not be looking for promotion this season, but they'll want to consolidate and build. They're a very young side, and, you know, it's good to see how they're going on.
And elsewhere, were Letterkenny involved in Championship 3?
That's a very interesting one because, I mean, to be honest, having seen Strabane, you know, I would have thought that Strabane would have had trouble with Letterkenny, but as it turned out, Letterkenny won very easily by, I think it was 28 points to 3. I beg your pardon, I'm looking at the wrong score. Yes, 28 points to 3, and looks as if they probably got 4 tries in that. Now, that's 3 consecutive good results. I saw them beating Monaghan with 2 or 3 weeks ago, then they went up to Ophir, had a big result. And I certainly thought it had been a lot closer to that. In fact, I would have thought, having seen that the Strabane pack might have been too strong. But the young Letterkenny team now, that's a very, very good result. And they'll be absolutely delighted to get one over on their neighbours. And I'm sure the return leg will be worth watching. And that was that one. A couple other results, Miles, that was out the mouthy one. The Rugby Provincial 5, Inishowen travelled to Lisburn and come away with a 7-5 result. Obviously, whoever kicked that conversion won the game for them. That's Inishowen's third win in that league this year, out of six. So they'll be very happy having travelled so far. And then in the Rugby Regional, which was the old Minor Northwest last season, there was a couple of games didn't take place, but Strabane, I suppose, second's got a wee bit of a... They turned the tails. They beat Letterkenny by 8 points to 3, but the Omagh fourth team, and it lets you see the strength and depth at Omagh, the Omagh fourth team, they were just too strong for Virginia, 43-7. So, all in all, as I say, back to the AIL next week, Miles, City of Derry are home to Wanderers, and... There's been a lot of chat over the last 2 weeks because, as you know, their season has not been good. And I think they possibly might be strengthened by David Funson, who's actually teaching in London, but he's home at Halloween. So, if he's registered with them, he could play in that. But Wanderers are not having the greatest of seasons. They've won, I think it's 2 or 3 games. But you still have to think, you know, that Derry haven't got a result yet. And if they get anything from next week... hopefully that'll maybe start something, because I feel that they really have to just, if they can win 4 or 5 games this year, stay in that league, but they have to start planning for next year. They've got to get a coach in, you see, that's the big problem. They don't have a regular coach. Stephen Douglas is sort of helping out to Christmas, but he's heading off, I think, to Australia. Young Richard McCarter's looking after backs, but it's not really fair in a young boy, young Richard, he's only about 31, 32, playing in a team and having a coach the team, it's very, very difficult and puts a lot of onus on him. But, as I say, they have a chance next week, Wanderers at home, because if they don't win that one, then they're away to Old Crescent, and they're also away to Beckham, so they're not going to get too many presents from that one.